Well, what a year it has been. If you're a gardener, you'll have had to cope with some of the hottest, driest weather we've had for years, and some of the wettest. There are some things in our garden that have grown wonderfully, but I have to say others have been a complete disaster. And for farmers, it must have been a really hard year. And yet, at the end, we still have harvest to celebrate. As we heard in that opening response in our service, from the very earliest time in the Bible, God promised that seed time and harvest will never cease. And today we can thank God once again for his faithfulness. Even through the challenges, he has continued to give the sun and the rain which are essential for our crops, but which we just cannot conjure up for ourselves. And so, as I said before, at harvest, I think today our prayer really should echo that of the poet George Herbert. Thou who hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a thankful heart. God is the one who provides. But we have to recognize that sometimes God does that through challenging circumstances. And that was definitely true in the time of our first Bible reading from the book of Ruth. You may know the story of Ruth. It's one of the best loved in the Bible. And it's mostly set around harvest. And it actually can help us to see some important things about how God wants us to be responding to harvest today. The story of Ruth starts with a woman called Naomi, who lived in a small town, Bethlehem, around 1100 years before Jesus was born. When famine came to Israel, Naomi with her husband Elimelech and their two sons moved away to Moab and settled there. Her sons married local girls. Everything seemed fine until first Elimelech and then Mahlon and Chilion, their sons, died. Naomi decided to go back home to Bethlehem. One of her daughters-in-law stayed in Moab, but the other one, Ruth, went with her. The name Naomi means pleasant. But Ruth chapter 1 ends. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." So there was Naomi, feeling devastated, feeling that God had completely failed her. What hope could there be for a woman in that position? And that brings us to Ruth chapter 2, which Ken read for us. Ruth and Naomi were in a difficult position. They had returned to Israel, but with their immediate family dead, with Ruth being from Moab, a country which Israel was frequently at war with, and with no welfare state, they'd got no one who would provide for them. But in the Old Testament law, God had made provision for such people. In Leviticus chapter 19, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien." You see, God is generous, and that means that his people should mirror that by being generous themselves. So Ruth asks Naomi for permission to go out and glean, to pick up the leftover crops. And we heard in verse 3, as it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And then while she was gleaning, along came Boaz. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. Boaz saw Ruth, found out who she was, and then told her, "Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you." That last bit highlights a real danger, a danger that Naomi was well aware of. And Naomi had said, "It'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women and work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. It was a lawless and dangerous time. A girl like Ruth on her own could have been very vulnerable. So what do we see? We see that Ruth just happened to go to Boaz's field. And he just happened to come along while she was there. It must have seemed to Ruth like such a stroke of luck. But it wasn't luck. Naomi knew that. Down in verse 20. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He hasn't stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. The Naomi, who just a short time earlier had been complaining that the Lord had afflicted her and brought misfortune on her, now she can see that this seeming just happened was actually God at work for their good. And what made all the difference was that she realized it was God's providence at work. Through all of those seemingly little details, God was at work for Ruth's good and for Naomi's good. It's one of the great themes of this little book. God is a great and a generous and a gracious God. Ruth began life as a pagan in Moab, with frightening gods, gods like Chemosh who wanted child sacrifice. But now that she finds, now she's come to Bethlehem, to Israel, she finds that the Lord, Yahweh, is generous and full of love. He's so different. Like a mother hen gathering her chicks under the protection of her wings to shield them from danger, so God gathered this bereaved, frightened foreigner to himself. And that's the first thing, really, that this book of Ruth and this reading this morning tells us about harvest. It's a reminder for us of God's goodness and generosity. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that, because we can all too easily take all that God gives us so much for granted. It's interesting. It just seems to me that when things go wrong in life, it's very easy to focus on those things and ask why God lets bad things like that happen. But we forget that when good things happen, we should be thanking him for those. Sometimes difficulties and suffering can make people think that God doesn't actually care about them. But all of the time, they are receiving so much from him. Food and drink, homes, clothes, the things that Jesus spoke about in our gospel reading. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We are surrounded by so many blessings. And harvest is just one of those occasions that reminds us that these blessings come from God, a God who is gracious and generous and good. But despite that, much of the book of Ruth hinges on times when God doesn't seem to be providing for his people. Naomi and Ruth were back in Bethlehem, but where was this provision from a good God? They seemingly had no land to farm. They couldn't grow their own food. And God's goodness didn't mean that the food that they needed would suddenly appear out of thin air. And that brings us to the other major character here, Boaz. He was a godly man. In verse 1 it says he was a man of standing. It could be translated, he was a man of character. And you just see his character shining through. Ruth goes out to glean in his fields, as the Old Testament law allowed. But I'm pretty sure that some landowners would have told their workers to make sure that they left as little as possible for anyone who came to glean. But not only is Boaz not as tight-fisted as that, look at his generosity. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." Ruth, of course, was oblivious to all of this. She didn't know what Boaz had said to his workers. But by the end of the day, she'd collected an ephah of grain, which is about 13 kilos or 2 stone if you still use old money. And when Ruth got home that evening, Naomi was amazed by the amount. There was real generosity on Boaz's part. He did far more than the law demanded. And if we'd read on, we'd see that he did the same thing the next day and the day after until the harvest was finished. And you see, that's the second thing which this story of Ruth tells us about harvest. Our good and generous God does not necessarily distribute his provision equally. He leaves us to share what we have with those who have less. So, when we support Food Bank or the Family Pack Project, we are being like Boaz. When we give to the work of Tear Fund, we're being like Boaz. Today there'll be a retiring collection for Charles Thompson Mission in Birkenhead. The food that we'll be collecting over the day will be going both to them and to Food Bank. Why do we do that? Because it's being like Boaz. Psalm 65 says, "You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance." The harvest does provide in abundance. It's often been said before, there is enough food in the world to mean that no one needs to starve. But we know that that abundance is so often wasted. According to figures I saw this week, in the UK alone, we throw away 10 million tons of good food worth £20 billion every year. The average family, that means, throws away £540 worth of good food each year. I'm sure Boaz could have justified keeping as much of his grain as possible. After all, although this was a good harvest, next year might not be so good. Shouldn't he keep as much as he could in order to provide for that sort of situation? And anyway, there'd be other farmers around who had much more than him. Surely they were the ones who should be doing the providing. But that's not Boaz. He didn't hoard what he had for himself. He recognized that God had been generous to him so that he could be generous to others. You might not think that you have a lot, but compared to some, you are so blessed. So, on Harvest Festival Day, our reading from Ruth reminds us that God is a good and generous God, and that we need to be generous in sharing what he's given us. But there's one more thing in this passage. In fact, it really is, I think, the heart of this passage. Right at the center of the chapter, verse 12. "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth had come back to Bethlehem with Naomi, but she'd done more than just accompany and support her mother-in-law. In Ruth 1:16, Ruth tells Naomi, "Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." Despite all that had happened to them, Ruth had turned in faith to the God of Naomi. She'd come to take refuge under his wings. That doesn't mean that God was only generous to Ruth because she trusted him, but it does mean that Ruth only knew the fullness of God's blessing when she committed herself to him. And that is still true. In this harvest service, we remember God's material provision for us. But in this communion service, we remember the even greater provision which God has made, giving us his Son, and through him, giving us eternal life. And if you miss out on that, you miss out on the best that God wants to give you. The harvest is wonderful, but it's temporary. Eat today and you will need to eat again tomorrow. But the salvation which comes through Jesus will satisfy for eternity. So on Harvest Sunday 2018, three reminders from this event that actually took place over 3,000 years ago, recorded for us in the book of Ruth. God is a good and a generous God, a God we can trust to provide for us. God gives to us so that we can give to others. His generosity is worked out through our generosity. And the most important thing that God wants for us is a personal relationship with Him. A relationship that will last not just for this life, but for eternity.